Well, good morning, everyone. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so good to be here with you all on this yet another wet Sunday. I keep thinking that if I see someone building an ark, I will not make fun of them, you know? Like to highlight a few announcements as we begin our service this day. David will be on call for me this week. I will be away in Greensboro at the Reynolds Program in Church Leadership Monday through Thursday. But I'll be back in town this Friday. So if you have an emergency and need pastoral care or whatever, David will be on call for me. So please contact him. There's a Godly Play training that's being offered to acquaint those who are going to be helping with our Godly Play class, which is what we do in Sunday school for our youngest ones. And the details of all that are there in the bulletin for you, as well as the walk of awareness. We trust that everyone is aware of what it is now. It's a walk to help raise awareness of the plight of the homeless in our community, and Haywood Street Congregation and Brian Combs will be conducting that. So if you have any more questions, you can visit their website and find everything there. At the close of worship today, we're going to have a brief capital campaign informational session presentation. And so please, we won't sing the last hymn until afterwards, but it'll only be about 10 minutes. And so we hope that we can let you all know a little more about some of the things that are going on in our church as we plan for the future here. Also, Sally Ann, do you have anything to add with the Back to School Bash coming up this Saturday, or this Sunday, next Sunday? So join us for worship next week, as well as some picnicking and festivities afterwards on the church grounds, hopefully. Or we could just call it a water park time if it rains, right? There's going to be a bouncy house. There's going to be snow cones. Do I need to say any more? I mean, I probably had you all at snow cones, right? I know I had myself at snow cones. So please come and join and take part after church next week. Are there any announcements that may not have made it into the bulletin? Well, Samuel, we wish you well as you leave this week. Devin and Caitlin have already left for App, and Samuel will be leaving for Virginia Tech. And so we, our prayers go with you, but we're also very sad at the same time. I've told Elliot he's going to have to come and play the tuba or the trumpet along with Wiley now. Yeah? Come on. No? Okay, maybe not. Maybe not. Anyway. Well, I invite you now to stand as we join together in our first hymn. It's number 369, Blessed Assurance. Let's stand as we offer our praise.
Thank you.
And I invite you to remain standing as we turn together in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to Psalm 80, which is found in number 801 in your hymn book, Psalm 80. Please join us as we read responsibly. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim. Shine forth in the presence of Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?
You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure.
You make us the scorn of our neighbors and our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved.
You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it.
You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land.
The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches.
It sent out its branches to the sea, and its shoots to the river.
Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit?
The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it.
Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. They've burned it with fire. They've cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance.
But let your hand be upon those of your right hand, the ones whom you have made strong for yourself.
Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
Please be seated, and I invite our children to come down for our children's time.
Where did all the other children go? Home? I don't know about that. How about sitting down where I can see your faces? Sitting down here, please. Can you all turn and look this way? Thank you. We have some of you that are starting something this week. What comes for you this Wednesday, Miss Cora? Wednesday? What comes for you on Wednesday? The first day of school, followed by your birthday, yes, yes. But the first day of school is always that time of starting something new. You've perhaps been to school before, but you'll have new teachers and new folks in the class and new things to learn, and it's not exactly a starting over. It's a continuation of all that you've been learning and a chance to come out of summer and see what new things you're going to learn this year. And God lets us start anew, too. If we make mistakes, God doesn't throw us away, does he? No. Does he give us another chance? He does. So we get a chance to start over with God's grace, even if we've done something we don't feel so good about or done something that we shouldn't have done, God lets us start anew. And I want you all to remember that this week as folks go back to school and start new in their learning. And you're in year-round school, so your break, I can't keep up with Jace, I'm sorry. It confuses my mind. But we get those opportunities, and let's remember that God is always gracious to extend grace, and let us try again. Let's stand in a circle for our prayer. Can you come join us? Would you like to come in our circle? Come on. May I have your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Gracious God, we thank you for your grace and the opportunity to try again when we don't always do it right the first time. Thank you for your love and the opportunity to grow in faith with you and all those here this day in this church and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's August, so our bread tin, our loose change offering, is still going to Jones School. Oops, off, yes, wrong month. Nothing but nets. We're keeping folks from getting sick from malaria, so thank you for that correction. Lila, you want to go on the outside, and Jace will take it down the inside? This is a loose change offering for nothing but nets to... Excuse me.
I'd just like to ask each of you to stop and think. Have you ever gotten a mosquito bite? Did you ever have a mosquito bite when you were a little child, and are you still alive? We're lucky that we don't die of malaria in this country, but one of the great things is that for $10, we can buy a net suffused with insecticide, which will permit people to sleep all night long in Africa and other parts of the world where malaria is endemic, and not be stung by mosquitoes and not die. I'm here to just mention several things from the point of view of the Missions Committee. One, to report on last month's bread tin, which was a collection of money to help buy school supplies for children at Jones School who can't afford to buy those supplies themselves. Those have been bought and delivered last week or the week before, Claire, and received with great gratitude, as you can imagine. I talked Friday with Aja, who has come back from Ghana and reported that once again the school uniforms, which our January bread tin permitted him to buy and take over there, have made an enormous difference in the lives of people, some of whom children would not be able to go to school if they didn't have a school uniform. And those also cost $10. And AJ's got some good pictures that he said he would bring and share with us. And finally, let me just say that we have now signed up for 4 different work days for Habitat, this year's Methodist Presbyterian House. We don't know what they are, but we volunteered to do 4 days and send 2 volunteers each day. That's a total of 8, which we should be able to manage easily enough from this church. So please keep alert for those, and I'll have those dates as soon as they send them to us, and I'd love to have volunteers, including new volunteers. We can over-volunteer. They never criticize us for that, but we've got to do at least 4 days of 2 people each to go along with the covenant that we've made with them. Thank you all.
Before our scripture lesson is read, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in bold on the first page of our bulletin. Let us pray. God of constant mercy, who sent your Son to save us, as your word is proclaimed, remind us of your goodness and increase your grace within us, that our thankfulness may grow. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes to us from the prophet Isaiah. I'll be reading chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. He expected it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there for my vineyard that I've not done in it? When I expected it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I'll tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I'll break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I'll make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and it shall be overgrown with briars and thorns. I'll also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock, our redeemer, our vine dresser. Amen. Okay, now, this is church, so you can answer honestly, without risk of consequence or judgment or anything like that. Who likes country music? Oh, okay. Now, I'm raising my hand, but with a caveat. I like old country music. I don't like the stuff that gets played on the radio now. I don't know. I won't say I'm above it, but it's just too much like pop music, you know? And I just don't like the glorification of Wranglers and snuff necessarily. Not that there's anything wrong with either of those, but I like Willie Nelson in particular. I grew up as a little kid. My father had in his 8-track player in the Lincoln Mark III, you know, that big Continental that had the little porthole windows. Man, that was a comfy car. He had an 8-track player in it that would he always had these Willie Nelson 8-tracks. Now, I loved listening to the songs. I didn't really know what they were about all that much, and I listened to them once I got older, and they're sad, aren't they? Anybody else feel that way? You know, well, mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys, right? How's the rest go? Make them be doctors and... Do you speak from experience? What about you, John? Keith? My favorite song, though, I like country because as a genre, it's a more true-to-life sort of thing, isn't it? You know, it's not about happy pop music where everybody loves everybody and things work out all rosy, you know, and it's not about life as a gangsta like rap music most times is, but it's about real-life stuff. Things don't always work out for the best in those old country ballads, do they? My favorite one of these Willie Nelson songs growing up was, it's actually kind of a sadistic song. You know that joke, right, about country music? What do you get when you play a country song backwards? You get your car back, you get your truck back, you get your wife back, you get your hound dog back, you know, all that. You've heard that one, right? But this one is my favorite one, and it's almost stereotypical, and I'm not going to sing it, so don't worry. I see looks of trepidation on your faces right now, but I'll do it William Shatner lounge singer style. How about that? The postman delivered a past due bill notice, and the alarm clock rang 2 hours late. The garbage man left all the trash on the sidewalk, and the hinges fell off of the gate. And this morning at breakfast, I spilled all the coffee, and I opened the door on my knee. And I used to crack up at that one. I thought it was just the funniest thing. And the last thing I needed, the first thing this morning, anybody, was to have you walk out on me. I like country music. I really do. I especially like Willie because it's true life. You know, everything doesn't always work out happy in the end. And sometimes the only thing you can do is cry. And sometimes in life the only thing you can do is sing. Why is it that music sometimes is like the perfect accompaniment to the worst day of your life. Have you noticed, did anybody feel that way with music? Sometimes it just, sometimes the only thing you can do, you're so happy, the only thing you can do is sing. And sometimes you're so sad and dejected, the only thing you can do is sing. We all know the pain of something we loved that's been lost. Whether it's a job, whether it's a loved one, whether it's a dream, whether it's what, we all know the pain of something loved and lost, don't we? Even young ones among us. You might be wondering what all this thing about country music has to do with the scripture lesson. I don't know. But if you think back to our reading from Isaiah 5, God is singing a country music love song in the Bible, in essence, intoned in the words of his prophet Isaiah. God is mourning the loss of his love, the people of Israel, after they have cheated on him by worshiping other gods. In a very ancient way that's somewhat lost to us, the people of God are likened to a vineyard. Remember back, let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. Like most old country love songs, this isn't a happy ballad where everything works out for the best in the end, is it? This isn't even one of those like Garth Brooks sorts of songs where, one of God's greatest gift is unanswered prayers, right? I mean, this is a sad song that we have. This is a song of betrayal and of hurt, of infidelity, of unfaithfulness, of lost love, and of everything going wrong. God's worked so hard for his people throughout history. He miraculously delivered them out of slavery in Egypt. He led them to freedom through the Red Sea. He rained down bread from heaven upon them even when they were disobedient and wandering there in the wilderness. And he gave them some basic guidelines for how to live, but his people turned away, didn't they? In the marriage of God and his people, the people of God cheated on him. And so, God sings. In the song from Isaiah 5, where these unfaithful people are compared to a vineyard, what happens? The landowner, he's worked so hard. He's planted choicest vines. He's even built a watchtower in the midst of the vineyard. He put a hedge around it so that it wouldn't get messed up. He dug a wine vat in it. And then after all of those years, after planting the vineyard and waiting for those vines to mature to where they could start producing fruit that could then be made into wonderful wine, God plants Pinot Noir, and he gets muscadines. God plants Sangiovese, and he gets scuppernongs. God intones his heartfelt and painful lyrics about the situation. He did all that he could for those grapes, those people. He mourns the plight that he's found his vineyard in, and he's mad, isn't he? And so what does he do? I'll tell you what I'll do for my vineyard, God sings. I'll tear down its hedge and it'll be devoured. I'll even command the clouds not to rain on it so that it dries up. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. Another thing I like about country music is the plays on words. You know, I like those. I'm a sucker for good words that get played on like that. The last thing I needed, the first thing this morning, was to have you walk out on me. That's regardless of the content of the song, that's witty, isn't it? Well, if you read this in the Hebrew, it has a similar thing. This last line that I was saying, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. He expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry. The word here, justice, he expected mishpat, but saw mishpach. Tzedakah, but heard tzedakah, You see, in the Hebrew, he's even making a play on words like one of these country songs. It's fascinating. I love how they do that. If you read this in the Hebrew, these words really take on a new meaning in and of themselves even. But is this how the song ends? I mean, let's hope not, right? Is this really how the song is going to end of God and God's people? Sad, dejected, the vineyard torn down. Can we play it backwards? I don't know. But if you read on through Isaiah, it's a long book. If you've ever tried to read through the Bible, you usually don't even make it to Isaiah, do you? But if you'd make it to Isaiah, it's one of those that's pretty hard to get through sometimes. But later on, in chapter 27, we hear more. Now, what's happened in the course of all this is that the people of Israel were disobedient. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, you probably heard of him before, but don't try to spell his name. And please don't name your child that. You know, I mean, that would just be a horrible thing to do. That'd be worse than naming your kid by the middle name Krzyzewski, as I wanted to do. But Nebuchadnezzar has just decimated the whole nation of Israel, carried away everyone into captivity in Babylon and exile, and all this. And it's a very unhappy ending for a love song. But don't get too worried. Don't get too worked up. Don't sing too many sad songs, because this is not the end. If you read on just a bit in chapter 27, vineyards are sung about again. And I think of this as a continuation even of this first love song concerning his vineyard. On that day, a pleasant vineyard, sing about it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water it. I guard it night and day so that no one can harm it. I have no wrath. In the days to come, Jacob shall take root. Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots and fill the whole world with fruit. The prophet Isaiah lets us know just how much God loves his people and just how much it hurts when we turn away, when we're unfaithful, when the grapes of our lives yield wild grapes instead of the choicest ones, when our actions aren't in keeping with our words, our beliefs, our uttermost being, who we really are. We let so many silly things get in our way, don't we? The Old Testament country music love song is not just a hymn about how much pain the people of God cause him. It's a call to repentance, to turn around, to get back with the one who loves you enough to die for you. The word repent in Hebrew is a very simple word, shuv. Shuv, and it means to turn around, to return, to repent. Literally, what it means, we think of this word repent as, you know, say we're sorry, change our ways, etc. But literally, the word repent, if you're doing this, if you're walking in this direction, the word shuv, repent, means to do an about face and to turn around 180 degrees. It means to change, to return, to play our lives backwards. Like a country music song, when we play our lives backwards, we get everything back. And God will once again be the keeper of our vineyard that is his people. I invite you to take a moment to think about what it is that you might need to do individually, what it is that we might need to do as a church, and what it is that we can do to turn around, what it is that we can do to change the way that we relate to others, people in our own families, people at our work, people in our schools. Think just a moment. In closing, I want to share another somewhat country music song with you. This one I found, it was written by a Lutheran professor up at Luther Seminary, and it's a really nice one. It's kind of a paraphrase of this reading from Isaiah, and it's simply called A Love Song for the Vineyard. And it's meant to be done to the tune of Home on the Range. Very old school sort of country song. There we go. It's a love song I'd sing and salvation I'd bring to my people, beloved and strong. But can't do what I would, for I made them for good, and someday they got it all wrong. Home, home, please come home. There's death where you've chosen to roam. I stand and I knock. Can't you hear the dread clock? Ticking tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. I won't do the refrain, all of this. They were meant to bear fruit, but they pillage and loot. They're a vineyard that's grown old and wild. So I'll prune and I'll cut, and the door I will shut to my dwelling, though they are my child. Let me set forth my case, lest you think that my face just turns this way and that for sport. No, Redeemer's my name. Steadfast love is my game. I seek life. I am not Voldemort. Gotta like that if you're... He's the Harry Potter bad guy. So I planted and tilled, all their enemies killed. Not so nice, I confess, but deserved. I gave them a land, their expansion I planned, and their lives above all I preserved. But they squabbled and fought, did not love as they ought. They could have done well if they would. I expected a crop. What I got was a flop, and a cow's would have smelt just as good. So I'll plow up their field. I will decrease their yield. What was fertile will now become rocks. I will lay their land waste. I will do it in haste. Habitat for a just jackal and fox. So I sing you my song, for you too get it wrong. Your priority's quite out of whack. It's not plowshares but swords that get greatest rewards, and tight ends take home gold by the sack. You need never say no to a glass of Merlot, and you put fine perfumes in your bath. Lay up treasures on earth, but they'll only give birth to a harvest of dark grapes of wrath. So what should I do? Send my son down to you? But would he not suffer the fate of all others who dare to suggest that you should care for the beggars who stand at the gate? It's a love song I'd sing and salvation I'd bring. I'll never give up my refrain, for it's life that I seek for the strong and the meek. Won't you please come in out of the rain? Amen. And as we go to the Lord in prayer this day, we have a few requests to share with you. If you would remember Emily Hutchins, who is Judy's mom, and also Alex Price, and family for Elaine Price's niece, who passed this week. Certainly, please, we lift up to you all of those names on our prayer list. And one to highlight in special is Hughes Chisholm, who's still hospitalized. Is that right, Don? Still hospitalized? But he's doing much better. Good, good. He was rushed to Vanderbilt Hospital this week on the life flight thing even. I hope that he gets to fly that way back home when he's released. But... we certainly need to remember Hughes and all of their family this week, as poor little Hughes has had such complications from his heart surgeries. Others? Well, if not, let us join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the vineyard that is your church. For your constant care for us. For your pruning. For your watering. For your care. Make us mindful of your work among us, O Lord. Keep watch over us and fill us with your good gifts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We lift up to you this day, O Lord, all of those who mourn, all of those who are ill, all of those who are in the hospital, for those from our midst who are in extended care facilities. We lift up those who are lonely, and we lift up their caregivers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We're thankful for the peace that we take for granted in our country so often, O Lord. We lift up our military, but we also lift up the nations of the world for whom peace is so far away. For war and its victims, for violence and its ravages on the families of the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And hear us, gracious God, as we lift up to you in silence those deepest concerns of our hearts. And as your Son taught us, so now we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him.
Take and try, we're off me.
let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. Gracious God, for these gifts and indeed for all the blessings of life, we offer you our thanks, our praise, and our service. Accept all of these gifts, O Lord, that they might go to further the will and the love of your kingdom here in this place and beyond. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I invite the members of our capital campaign committee to come forward. They're going to give us a brief presentation on some of the things that are on the horizon.
My name is Elaine Poovey, and I co-chair the capital campaign committee along with Kitty Schaller. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:22. An old mountaineer and his wife were sitting in front of the fireplace one evening, just whiling away the time. After a long time, the wife said, "Jed, I think it's raining. Get up and go outside and see." The old mountaineer continued to gaze into the fire. He sighed, and then he said, "Ah, Ma, why don't we just call in the dog and see if he's wet?" One thing that has really been in our conversations recently is more doing and less talking about doing. God wants us to be doers, and I submit to you that the people of Asbury are doers. To that end, we have initiated a capital campaign. You received an introductory message, and during the next few months, there will continue to be conversations and exchanges of ideas and planning. We need you to be partners with us in this process. This morning, two of our committee members will share information with you. First, Scott Glenn, representing the trustees, and then Robert Wilcher, who is mentoring us through this process. Scott?
Good morning. I wrote some notes last night, and one thing, I voluntarily got on the trustees. People think, why would you do something like that? Well, it's a true love of our church, and it's I've always been a hard worker, and I wanted to work, and I like to get things done. Yesterday, I've always heard or always saw that the trustees just get kind of a bad rap. There's lots of talking. There's very little action. I was reading last night a book that R. Lee had let me borrow. It's called God Isn't in a Hurry. It's by Warren Wiersbe. And as I was reading, I turned to the second chapter, and the highlight of that was the high cost of shortcuts. The journey that we're getting ready to embark on is not one that needs to have shortcuts. Before I read that, I thought, well, parking, accessibility, those are the problems that we face. And I looked at where the proposed parking could be. And it's like, well, we could get started immediately on that. However, if we do that, that may not fall into play with the master plan. I did want to talk about a few specifics that the trustees are looking for. Not necessarily in order of priority, but just starting with the Memorial Ash Garden. A couple of the trustees had worked so hard on a plan over on the education side of the building. It was a beautiful drawing. However, it may have been too big. We had room for 600 spaces. Now, what if 10 years, 12 years down the road, we have four blocks that are filled? We have spent money that is, you know, that is not being used. So with the Memorial Ash Garden, we have proposed to go over on this side of the cemetery and to build it in zones. You fill up one zone, then you go to the next zone once that is done. I'm envisioning park benches, rhododendron, azaleas, a beautiful area. However, I know from my own experience, I do not have the vision to be able to put forth something like this. Parking. When I was a kid, we had the parking down Kimberly Avenue on the other side. And how long ago was that we lost that parking? Do y'all know? It's been a long time. To be able to rectify that should have been done a long time ago. But because I have friends, they come by and they say, gosh, y'all are packed on Sunday mornings. No, we're not. We have 80 people. You know, where am I going to get a parking place? We have some solutions that is going to be part of the master plan. Diagonal parking on Kimberly Avenue would provide 10 spaces. You would lose some that are parallel, but you would gain as far as the diagonal parking. However, what is the city going to say about that? I think that the city is going to say, y'all are going to need storm drains. I see that being an incredibly expensive project because you have to do something with the erosion. The small parking that is down here at the bottom of the fellowship hall, we could expand out and create 5 or 6 more spaces there. Now that the trees have been removed, and that was an unfortunate thing, however, it opens the door for expanding. We could possibly get 10 to 15 spaces around the handicap ramp. That solves our parking spaces. Now, accessibility, that's a little bit tougher. We get people in, and they're up here. They're in a wheelchair. Well, that's okay. We got them in. Now they've got to go to the bathroom. What are they going to do? Bring their own bucket? honestly, we need restrooms on the sanctuary level. That is an accessibility option that definitely needs to be addressed. The tough thing is going to be the building accessibility. The ramp is fine, but we need a bigger fix than that. One of the last things I want to talk about is landscaping. Landscaping is easy, and I've heard, let's plant some trees. That'll make everybody feel good. It will, to plant some trees. However, we plant trees, and then we get this master garden in place. Well, the trees are going to have to be removed. We've planted grass. We're going to make that area as pretty as possible before we get going. Down to maintenance projects. This roof over the sanctuary, we have about 5 to 7 years of life left on it. The estimates that we have gotten on that is around $30,000. We simply don't have it. We don't have that money. We have talked about leveling and retiling the downstairs floor including the youth room. Once again, expensive. And we have a moisture problem. If you walk in the youth room, the left-hand side, we're having moisture coming in. That is going to involve a French drain or something, some waterproofing. That, again, is going to be expensive. So going back to when I started with the trustees, I wanted it done quickly. And I'm quickly realizing that these things are going to take time. They really are. And a master plan it encompasses everything that we're trying to do. It prioritizes the projects. Personally, I feel that the parking is the number one thing. I think it's the easiest thing. But who's going to deal with the city? You get a paving contractor out here, and I don't know if that contractor is going to be dealing with the city and their laws and everything else. These projects are beyond the scope of what the trustees can do. We do not have the knowledge for it, and I truly feel that we need a project designer for all of these. So what do we need from you? Suggestions, ideas. I would prefer for y'all to contact me individually. I will write all of this stuff down. The trustees will be meeting Thursday, September 12th, and we will be talking about the options. This is before we get in touch with a project designer. But I think that we need the congregational input before we start on actually calling a project designer. Another important meeting is that the Capital Campaign Committee will be meeting on September 17th, and then our next council meeting is October 13th. At that time, I am hoping that the trustees will have a couple of bids, and we will be able to ask church council for some seed money to get this started. This is seed money that will be replaced through our capital campaign. But these are the type of things that we're stuck with. We need professional help. And I sincerely hope that this congregation will step up. We've been talking about stewardship. We need your prayers. We need your presence. We need your gifts. We need your witness. And what was the last one? And we need your service. Thank you very much.
I'm going to talk from here. If you can't hear me, you can do that. I'm supposed to have 3 minutes. It is an outline of the process so far. I got involved about... Can you hear me on the back row? Yeah, I'm good.
Nose.
Okay. All right. So there's been a process that's been going on for some time. You're getting a progress report on that process. Hopefully it's outlined here. And, of course, what you've just heard is the perspective of the trustees in a master plan process. When I got involved in about April, people were talking about asking you to make gifts. But what we've learned is that we don't know what we're asking you to make gifts to fully yet. So we're inviting you to be a part of the process. Before I talk about what's happening in 2014, does anybody have any questions this morning about what you've heard, what's in the paper, what the process is going to be? It's going to unfold over several months, with possibly a first step as early as October. You're going to be kept informed at every point. Your input's invited individually, but are there any questions this morning? My other 90 seconds. Most of you know that this church has been here since 1801, and each generation, people have stepped up to make these church facilities all the best that they can be in order to be on mission in our faith. In the 10 years that I've been a member here, we've been living off of the gifts of others. The wonderful Bassett legacy gift. We've had three major projects in that 10 years involving the sanctuary, where we had used some Bassett money, special gift from one family for some of the railing, special gift from another family for the carpet. We did windows in the education building. Again, church money with special money from the preschool. Most recently, we did bathrooms, special money left over from the Bassett funds. We've gotten to the point where in our generation, in our time, to prepare for the next generation of ministry here, we're going to ask everybody to participate. So sometime in 2014, when we're ready, you will be asked to make a second pledge to the church. There are some bullet points about that at the end of the blue sheet. We're going to be faithful. You're going to have a chance to hear the final plans before you're asked to do anything, and it will be explained carefully to you, and we will covenant back to you that we will keep good records and be faithful to an added accounting. So if you will choose when the time comes to make a second gift, then you'll be making your annual pledge and in addition a capital gift. And if you want to give early to help things getting started early, you're most welcome to do so, and we're happy to talk to you individually. Any questions about process? Stay tuned. We're in it together.
Thank you, Robert and Scott. Could I have the committee members just stand? Kitty is the only one that's not here today. These are the people that you need to talk to. I have been thinking about my words to you today for the past couple of weeks, and last Sunday, we shared the responsive reading, Psalm 33, verses 14 and 15. Those verses spoke to me, and I share them with you now. The Lord sits enthroned and looks forth on all the inhabitants of the earth, fashioning the hearts of them all and observing all their deeds. I feel God's presence as we begin this process of commitment to our church, a process of planning, creating design, communicating, listening, and going forward together. God has a specific purpose for our lives at such a time as this. Let's start by giving him our all, because there is so much to be done. Thank you.
Well, I invite you to stand as we sing together our last hymn. It's printed in your bulletin for ease. Love lifted me. Let's stand as we offer our praise. Go now in peace, and may the blessing of God Almighty go with you. Amen.